Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It is Wilde and Tosh, the Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover on ESPN Wisconsin. You can find us on the new and fantastic ESPN Wisconsin app. I did hear in the open that Jason Wilde, Mark Tauscher, the normal host of this show, they have pretty boring names. So does Jesse Nelson. Everything about Jesse Nelson, obviously boring. I'm Jim Rutledge. Jim is a boring name. Molly Brown. Molly, how do you feel about your name?
I mean, it's pretty basic, but it's a good name. It's the name on the Titanic.
It's not as good as Maladina Muffin Pie.
I mean, we don't have to talk about that, but okay.
Well, we're going to have to reference what that is in a second, Matt Hamilton.
Thanks, Matt.
Olympic gold medalist Matt Hamilton. So Jim, Matt, and Molly, I don't know if you could get three more generic names. I think, honestly, Molly, with all due respect, you're the biggest miss. I'm 45. Jim, James, like that's just like an old guy's name. You know, like,
true.
Like that, my brother's Bill, my dad's Tom. Like it's just, that's just what it is. Matt, at what are you, 36?
Yep.
So 36, Matt still hits. Matthew, it's still the wheelhouse of biblical names. But Molly, you're a youngster. And like Molly's just a little bit, like I feel like
you feel like I'm an old lady?
Yes.
What?
It's just a little classic.
Really? Yeah.
You might as well be named Phyllis.
So I'm either an old lady or I'm a golden retriever. Because I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, my dog's name is Molly. Great.
I'm happy
for your dog.
I didn't want to say that, but that's a common dog name.
Well, your dog's name is Dolly, too. Gosh. Oh, my gosh. Dolly and Molly. My goodness.
Look, you guys have your own radio show.
Yeah. My life is hard. I got a dog, Dolly. We have a teammate, Holly. And then we have Molly. And I work with both of you. And then dog, obviously, is in the house. So I struggle with my girl. But for example, my girls, they have the throwback name. Like Rosalie, Rosie is what she goes by. But now that's kind of like, you purposely went old, and then Magnolia, Nola, again, a little different. So, like, my wife doesn't love her name. It's Tanya. She's like, it's fine. I guess if I chose a name, I wouldn't have picked it. But, like, I don't know. You can chime in on that, 844-770-3776. The Carbis Talk and Text Line list is more. Do you like your name?
Well, I mean, you look at some of the drafts on the net, like Jackson with an X.
Oh, that's very popular in today's world.
Yeah, like, there's some names right now that are...
Jackson
people
with an X drives me insane.
Especially like 5 years ago, people were throwing Y's into names that had no business having a Y.
Like what? What comes to mind?
Anything that goes I-N at the end, like Caitlin or something, it's with a Y-N. It's like, what are we doing?
My name ends in an A-N, thank you, Molly. It's not R-A-Y-N.
Oh, but I was just thinking like
I mean,
A-N,
if you were
like
born
Ryan
today, your name would be R-H-Y-N.
R-H-Y-N?
Yeah.
Wait.
Ron. You're not wrong.
R-Y-E-N? Maybe R-Y-E-N. Like Ryan Russillo?
Yeah, it would be some crazy spelling, and they'd be like, how is that pronounced? And they're like, oh, it's Ryan.
It would be Rian.
R-I-E-N.
My name would be Rian.
as I look here, and again, Molly, obviously you just had twins and you got a two-year-old, but your names, they're more contemporary for your children's name. I don't want to share them if you don't want to.
Oh, no, you're good. So actually...
Very popular names right now.
Yeah, so actually our hospital, like every year they put out the amount of babies that were born, boys, girls, twins, whatever. So there was three sets of twins. I was one of the three. That's fun.
Were one of the...
Well, yes. I was the one that had...
Yes.
One of the three that
just
had
twins. Just
want
to make sure that you are also not a... You know.
I am not a twin, unfortunately. I would love to have a twin. But on the bottom, it says what the most popular names were for that year. And my daughter's name, Olivia, was actually one of the most popular ones. So my kids' names are Olivia. And then Luca with a K, like Luka Doncic, because Luka.
Awesome.
As I just pulled up here, Olivia number two. Liam, Emma, Oliver, Charlotte, James back on the list. Kai.
I dated a guy named James, so it's not that far off.
Like, there you go.
It's not that old.
Thanks.
Okay.
Ava, Noah, James on here again. So some of the names, Kai is one. My wife at times runs an in-home daycare in the summer. One of the kids is Kai. So like that's actually kind of a fun
name.
I
like that name.
J.J. Watt's kid's name, Kai, I think.
I don't know.
There's some like Hawaiian connection with them though, right?
Yeah. think his wife's Hawaiian.
Or she lived there? I don't know. Something like that.
I don't know.
Ryan, why'd you look at Ryan? Like, Ryan said J.J. Watt.
That's what you that's what because you guys do
here's the thing. Whenever I question anything, I just assume Ryan knows.
But also, Ryan is like a walking encyclopedia. He will know the most random knowledge, and it's crazy.
But like, J.J. Watt's wife's lineage, I don't know.
Yeah, her connection to Oahu.
But
no,
you seem
I don't,
like
I don't
you would
know
that. You really seem like you would know that. Easy.
Does.
Yes. You wear glasses.
Yeah, clearly. Yes.
Primetime War Shine Behind the Glass. Again, this is the Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wildy and Tosh. We got you for the next 3 hours. We are presented by Coors Light. The mountains are blue. You know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
I do have the power, and you can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream. We have someone chiming in here. Jared chiming in. Fair to say my name has been an issue my entire life, not because of the name itself, but the pronunciation and spelling. No one ever gets it right. Honestly, proven by...
Did you just get it wrong?
No, it's Jared, because I've looked at the actual text, because the way it's... Who put it in the talking text line? The hard, like, they put it in how Jared spells it, but, like, I don't know, we're on the radio, maybe spell everything phonetically of, like, hey, it's Jared, J-A-R-E-D, like, that's how you'd say it. Jared's never going to see how we have him listed here in the talking text line. Can we just list it the normal way to say it?
Well, so I do know Jared in Canton, Ohio is well known amongst the Wildy and Tosh listeners as Jared in Canton, Ohio.
But it's Jared.
He seems to be okay with it. Jared,
it's their
chime
stick.
In. Yeah, exactly. Jared, because he's, you know, he's very, you know, international out there in Ohio.
Yes.
A worldly man.
Yeah, obviously.
Matt, so we've delayed talking about the Milwaukee Bucks as much as we possibly can.
Delayed our depression.
Yes. Yeah. The Bucks.
Here we go.
Game, here's what the NBA thinks of the Milwaukee Bucks. Tip-off's at 5 o'clock on NBA TV. You can listen here on ESPN Madison. Pregame starts at 4:30. That's why we are on
is
early.
Is it flexed there?
I think they're like, I guess we got to play this game. Five's the earliest, the last. Like,
wait, okay, I know that you guys just said that my name is old, but 10 out of 10, I will take a 5 o'clock tip-off over the 8:30.
Five?
Easy. Oh, my God, yes. Especially today, we're not going to be on the show until 6. Like, I'm in. Ugh. Count me in. It's over
sounds
by
like
7.
Sounds like a really real Molly Phyllis take.
I can eat, I can eat my dinner on, like, my dinner tray
thing.
You
can get your early bird special before you watch the game?
100%. Like, count me in.
Oh, man.
Because then how many other games are tonight? I'm assuming that there's at least 2 other games.
The Lakers, I would assume, play tonight. The Warriors won last night. They're up 3-1. But...
Depending on the time of month, she might get her social security check and be able to
I don't
go
know
out
where
and
you're
check
going
out.
About
I did
it.
Not know where. I was like, Matt, calm down. I know I'm a female on this show, but come on.
Yeah, it was for your social security check.
Matt wanted to go home early. He's like, you know what? I'll just shut it down. I'm out. Yeah, this is too early for me. I'm going to say something preposterous and then go home. Go to volleyball or something. I don't know. So
yeah.
We want to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks here, and I think it's a detailed, nuanced conversation. But we're on early because nobody cares about the Milwaukee Bucks as far as the NBA. Nobody in Madison, to be honest, cares about the Milwaukee Bucks. They haven't moved the meter in a while. When we try to talk about it on ESPN Madison, it ain't happening.
Crickets.
Yeah. So, Matt, you're a curler.
Yes.
And you've talked about this before, which I think is surprising to people. But can you explain to us the gentleman's game of curling, and if, let's say you are losing, what happens if you're losing, and how can that game wrap up?
So, in my opinion, one of the best parts about curling, and especially if you're on the winning side, it's so satisfying. If you can beat the other team, like, quickly or early, they can just say, like, hey, we see the writing on the wall, we know we're not going to be able to come back in this game. Let's just shake them up.
But what is early? Like, there's obviously not a halftime
in
curling.
Innings,
but
or ends. They're called ends in curling. To simplify it, I call them innings. Each end, they throw all the stones, and at the end of it, you have the opportunity to do whatever you want. You can make substitutions if you have an alternate, or you can call it quits. You can say, hey, guys, we're not coming back into this game. Yeah. We can quit. So, like, depending on where you're playing, like, at World Championships and stuff, since it's for TV, they're like, let's play a minimum of 8 ends or 6 ends.
Yeah.
But normally, like, just normal tournaments where I'm out and about traveling throughout the fall and early winter, you can quit whenever you want.
So when's the earliest someone's quit against you? I don't want to know
so
when the earliest you quit.
So in an 8-end game, I've gotten a team to quit after 4. So like at halftime.
And what, are you up like 8-0 at that point?
Yeah, it's like 8-1.
Okay. I feel like I definitely watched you, not to bring up anything sore, but I feel like I watched you just a couple months ago in the mixed doubles in Colorado, and I feel like you ended early against a team.
You guys were
down like brutal.
Yep, and we shook them up. It was actually, I know what game you're talking about too. That was our last game of the round robin. That was to get us into the playoffs if we win it. And we just got curb stomped. Yeah, but that's like, again, that's the beauty of it. I could sit out there for another 45 minutes and continue this death march with an inevitable fate, just knowing exactly what's going to happen. Or I can just call it quits. You know, season's over. We're in Colorado. Let's go have some local fun. Like Meow Wolf or whatever local fun you might do in Colorado.
So that got me thinking of the Milwaukee Bucks. And especially when Dame went down and the reports came out that like this is a devastating injury and it's done. So at that point, as a fan, I said, I'm out. Bucks
so
are
you're
doing-
shaking. You're
Bucks
shaking.
Are doing bup kiss.
I they mean, are, to be fair, you were kind of out before the series started.
I had
started.
Them losing in 6, yep. But at least I was like, maybe
there's a chance.
Maybe they can make me proud and beat the Pacers and then just go get destroyed by someone else. But I didn't have a lot of hopes for this team, for the Milwaukee Bucks. Dame and Giannis would have had just a magical run together. The roster is flawed beyond belief. We can get into why they decided to extend their GM with an incredibly flawed roster that I think if Giannis leaves, no fault or no blame put on him for this because you built a roster that is untenable going forward.
You got to put a little blame on Giannis. He got his coach. We're currently paying 2 coaches right now.
Right. Are you saying I'm not going to be upset if Giannis says, hey, man, I don't want this? Because, again, the GM could have said, sorry, Giannis, I get it. But if you're going to stay here, you have to, you know, at least have a better conversation
deal with
about
the rebuild.
It. Yeah. Or not deal with the rebuild. Like, you want Adrian Griffin. We want this coach. Like, let's have a deeper conversation about it. Because if that was the case, like, everyone's got to put on their big boy pants and be like, hey, we're trying to win titles. And Adrian Griffin might be a good coach, but maybe we should bring in someone who's a little bit more established so that we feel like we're going from a guy in Budenholzer who was already a good coach. Got Mike McCarthy type guy is what I kind of consider Budenholzer. Mm-hmm. Good coach, got a ring, elevates him, but not elite. And the Bucks could have, and I don't know if Nick Nurse would have been the answer or other things there. But to your point, they did kind of placate Giannis as far as possibly picking their coach there. And some of the player moves they did, like bringing back Chris Middleton was honestly one of the worst moves in Bucks history. Everyone loves Chris. He was a great basketball player. When they signed him, he was hurt, and it's only been worse. And then they ended up trading him for Kyle Kuzma. An abject disaster all the way around. And look, that's all you're going to get for Chris Middleton, but that kind of proves the point on the actual contract. So all of that is very, very depressing. Like when I watch the Bucks, you get all these sort of like, it's Pat Connaughton. You probably should have let him go and then brought in another young player not paying him that contract. There's Bobby Portis who doesn't play defense. And then there's Brooke who can't play defense in a system that's not Budenholzer's system. And you watch it and you're like, oh, man, what are we doing here? We brought in Kevin Porter and all his baggage. For what? Let's get some baskets. So, in general, that's all depressing. But then when Dame went down, the Bucks have zero chance to win this series now. And I understand Giannis is the best player in the series, and usually that can do it. But players 2, 3, 4, and 5 in this series are on the Pacers. And that's going to overwhelm the Bucks here. And I wish in sports and in this scenario, like if I'm the Lakers, I'm not saying we're going to pack it in. You got LeBron, you got Luka. You got Minnesota. Minnesota is a little bit...
Don't forget Austin Reeves either. He's been playing.
Yes, he has been playing basketball and playing well. Mm-hmm. And so, but I'm just saying when LeBron... nobody's saying we got Austin Reeves. We can't shut this down.
Fair, but
when you got LeBron, you're not going to shut down. And Minnesota is a little temperamental. Things could go haywire. Houston, you're a young team. You want the reps against, let's say, the Warriors. The Bucks literally got nothing to play for. Like, you're not winning the series. Even if you do, you're just getting worked the next one because Dame's done. And
you're not beating Cleveland.
So it's over. The season for all purposes is just done. So
saying tonight's game is pageantry?
Yes. And I wish the Bucks could just say
shake them up.
Yep, we're done. Thank you. And maybe they get some cash. Not only, obviously you can't do this, there's money, there's NBA. But this game's on what? NBA TV at 5:00? What are you losing? Like who's paying for that? So like you're not losing massive TV dollars on this. in the local market.
I was going to say, can Milwaukee fans even watch it?
But I was saying, like, again, you can listen on ESPN Madison, and you can listen across Good Karma Brand stations. We're at a flagship for the Bucks, so you can listen to it. And if you're a Bucks fan in Milwaukee, you want to hear it and you want to be a part of it. But like outside of the city of Milwaukee, who cares? Like, the NBA doesn't care about this game. And
this Pacers line right now is,
I guess, Indiana
juicy.
But what's it at now?
It's only at 8.5.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Smash! Smash the Pacers.
That's what I did.
Here's my never gonna happen thought, that if you were just operating in a vacuum of without all the other tangible things or intangible things that matter in sports, I would just, whether I don't know, someone from the ownership group or John Horst, someone goes to Giannis and says, "Hey man, you're not gonna play. It's not worth it. There's no biscuit worth risking it for tonight."
But like, do you think that Giannis would actually agree to that?
No, that's why I'm saying that this is imaginary, and Giannis would not agree to it. It goes against everything who he is. But the smart thing for the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis is to not play him.
And you're saying this for injury's sake?
Yes, because you're not going to win, and playoff stats is whatever. You're not going to win the series, which is the important part. And the Bucks now have basically zero value out of Dame, and I'm not trying to turn him into a commodity, because obviously he had some serious issues with his with blood clots and now the Achilles, and we all love watching Dame play, and it sucks that he's hurt. But when you look at it from like a organizational standpoint, you'd say, well, Dame now is basically, I believe, is next year's his last year, so it's just a pointless asset outside of like an expiring contract that maybe you can get something for.
But I believe he has a player option of like $58 million.
He does, yes.
Yeah, like, so now even worse. So now you're going to try to trade him. Nobody's going to take him. And now you might have to pick up that player option. $58 million for Dame still. Like, I feel like he probably could get $60 million and he might still walk out. Maybe I'm wrong. But
what team is paying him $60 million? Yeah, exactly.
Not 1 year. 2 or 3 years. Like, he might be able to get that money back.
And then what? He's almost 40 by then? He's going to be 35.
Chris Middleton got the Bucks to pay him a ton of money injured. I'm just saying that I wouldn't write off him still backing out of that deal and trying to rewrite something. But regardless, Giannis, there's nothing to do with the Bucks this year for Giannis. And so either you need him healthy for next season, so God forbid something bad happens, where you have like him have a major injury where he can't play for the Bucks, or if he says, I don't want to be here anymore, if he's hurt, now what do you do? And not like a Dame injury, but like an injury where he's maybe not 100% start the season. And now are you getting, do you try to trade it? Do you wait it out? Do you have to play some ceremonial games to prove that he's healthy and then trade him for pennies on the dollar because teams could say, oh, he's not fully healthy?
But does his success this season negate that, though? Even if he was hurt, you're still just like, all right, a hurt Giannis is still probably going to put up a double-double.
Every team's going to try to find an angle. So for me, it's just not worth it. The Bucks are doing nothing. Like, nothing is going to happen. They're not going to win the series. They're not going to the finals. They wouldn't win the next series even if they somehow win this series. So this is not a realistic thing, but in a money ball vacuum, take away the passion and all that of sports, you'd say Giannis is an asset that it is not worth risking to play in these pointless games or one more game.
It is, but there is the feeling, like, if you are like Jim Rutledge and you believe that the series is over, and Jim also believes, sorry if I'm speaking out of turn here, that Giannis is going to be traded, most likely.
Well, I'm saying that this would be the time to trade him best for everyone if it doesn't happen at the end of the season.
I'm just saying, like, he should play just to maybe get one more game in Milwaukee. Because if this is your, I hate to say it because it's been
farewell.
If this is your last dance, it'd be nice to have the last song be in Milwaukee.
And I'll give you that. And we'll talk about it more on the other side. I also would hold zero ill will towards Giannis if he says, I'm out.
Yeah.
You guys can't get anything for Dame. Got no other assets. And what are we doing? You can't build a winner.
Not in 1 year.
No. They have to rebuild. And if Giannis says, I don't want to rebuild, I would say, no problem. And if he says, I'm going to stay and rebuild, name the damn stadium after him. Like, he's already going to have a statue. Like, name the entire block. It should be the Giannis block all the way around there or whatever. Because
it has to be the first name because Matt can't pronounce his last name.
Exactly.
We all know that.
Where are you guys going? Oh, you're going to Giannis Street. There is no Giannis Street on Google Maps.
Giannis, that's Gampo.
Could you imagine Google trying to say that? It sound like
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So you could chime in on my wild theory that the Bucks and Giannis would be better served to pull a curling and say, "Hey, Indiana, thank you. Good game. We're done. Like, we're not going to play. You go ahead and move on. You rest up. We're going to rest up, make sure we're healthy, and we need to start looking into the offseason." So you can chime in on that insane theory that I have, 844-770-3776. That's Carl's talking text line. We did have a few people chime in on the name thing as well. Jamie in Orlando chimed in. "We named my daughter Kinley, but spelt it K-Y-N-L-E-I-G-H. This entire conversation is making me question why I did it that way."
Sorry.
Literally.
Cringe. And the G-H and the Y. That's a
brutal.
Love the name, though. I do like the name Kinley.
That is a good name. You love Kindling, too. And then Yard Possum chimes in, like, to get fire going.
Oh, Kindling.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Maybe I didn't enunciate enough there. Did Molly start receiving ARP magazines in the mail yet?
Not yet. We're getting there, though, apparently, with my old lady name. Who knew that I had... Whatever.
Well, the Bucks are on at 5. I'm exciting.
Right. You did also say that you wanted to eat at 5 o'clock.
I'll have dinner done, and I'll be ready for bed by the time the Bucks start.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Early bird special.
Going to bed when the sun is still out is a travesty, Molly.
Honestly, it gives me, like, trauma.
Why?
From when I was a kid, because if you got in trouble... You had to go to bed early, and then, like, you have, like, the blinds closed and the sun's coming in, but you're in bed and you're probably crying because you're in trouble. You had to go to bed early. And so now if, like, I couldn't go to bed, like, that early because it's just, like, I have flashbacks of being a kid.
Were you punishing yourself?
Well, you did something wrong, and it's, like, now you have to go to bed early. But who goes to bed early in the summer when the sun's up?
Molly
Brown.
No, you guys. Okay, now you're just taking. Nope, you're using my words against me. All I'm saying is that it would be nice to be able to watch a Bucks game at 5 o'clock, and not at 8:30, and have the game be over at 11. That's all I'm saying. I would have loved to watch the Warriors game last night. I'm not staying up late enough to watch the whole thing. No thanks. I'm out.
But don't call me old. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. The Takeover, Wilding Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wildy and Tausch, but it is the Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover. I'm Jim Rutledge, alongside Molly Brown, Matt Hamilton. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream. We're in the Everlight Solar studio, and we did talk a little bit of names earlier, as far as we have three pretty generic names, and I'm fine.
Boring.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Molly seems a little bit upset. Speaking of, Molly is revealing herself older and older by the moment. I'm the old guy in the show at 45. Followed by Matt Hamilton at 36, and then Molly's the youngster. Primetime Warsheim, are you the youngest of them all?
What?
Of the group here?
By far, yeah.
Yes. By far?
Well, I mean...
I thought you were close
to Molly. By far? I mean, Jesus. I'm 28 years old.
28
my
going
God.
On 65.
Now, to be fair, yeah. Molly, give your full... what you're willing to share as far as, like, you're an old 28.
Do you want me to dox myself right now? What do you mean I'm an old 28? Because I have 50 kids?
Yes.
I have two stepchildren, and then I have three of my own.
So you have five children at the age of 28.
Yes. Yep. Thank you for making it sound worse than as one is 17,
it's
too,
not
so
bad.
You do the math.
It's not bad. It's not bad, but when you say lifestyle differences, you're 28 and...
It is
and
much different than Prime's 28. Prime is getting declined his credit card at Buck and Honey's because he can't afford
way,
asparagus and fish tacos.
25, not 28.
Okay. 25.
Provide a little context here for Ryan. You share the story.
You
of
want
Ryan.
Me to provide context?
Well, he has my
Ryan
first
to.
Credit card, and he has a limit on how much he can spend a month. Yeah. And he realized he hit his limit, so he had to
while
ask his parents
date.
For a yeah. While on a date too, Ryan essentially got a debit card or credit card, which he put in allowance on it.
It was a credit card.
He's like,
it's a credit card.
He's like,
he's
self,
being responsible.
Ryan Bullersheim, self. You can't spend more than $200 a month, so we're going to put a max on this card, and you're going to have to, like, deal with whatever embarrassment if you go over. And, man, did you pick the worst time ever to go over your allowance.
It's $500. Thank you. get the figures right, yeah, please?
It's $125 a week.
Thank you.
But to be honest, like,
I made some large purchases that month. I made a Costco trip. I filled up the car with some gas. You know, I was
good. You weren't going to run out of gas on your date. That's a plus.
No, not
good for you.
On the walk over to Buck and Honey's, I was not going to run out of gas. No.
So
saving
look,
money.
I give Ryan credit as someone that, you know, I was not as responsible as Ryan. So good for him on setting a limit on himself. But
it's more because I got this card when I got right out of college, and I just never went back and got an actual credit card. Not like the starter card.
And here's the problem: once you get a credit card, they just destroy you if you ever get rid of it. So just stick with that card forever and never use it. Like, because honestly, the second you get rid of a credit card, they're like, "Oh, you don't like us anymore? We're going to take 100 points off your credit score just because." Like, be honest. My wife used to work in banking. Get rid of a credit card, and they get you hard. Like, they get in their feelings about it. It's like worse than breaking up or with the crazy ex girlfriend. It's like the credit card companies get upset. But Molly, yes. So you have twins. You have a toddler, and you have two stepsons. It just makes your life sound so much older than yours is at 28.
And I love being in bed at like 8 o'clock.
And so
that is the best. I can just scroll my phone, lay in my comfy, cozy bed, like have my
have
water
Snuggie?
Bottle. No, I do not. That's way too hot. I have hot flashes at night. I can just scroll my phone, have my cup right next to me of water. Like, I'm good to go at 8 o'clock. I love it. But the realistic of me actually being able to be in bed at 8 o'clock, not happening because I have twins and toddler. So.
And so that does bring Brandon from Tulsa's text. Hey, Molly, what's for supper tonight? Make sure you have Rolaids afterwards.
Beef stroganoff. No, I'm just kidding. Get I don't know out. What's for dinner.
Did you say that because you thought it was an old?
Yeah, doesn't it sound like an old person meal? Meatloaf?
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf sounds like
meatloaf.
Yeah.
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf. I do too, but.
Meatloaf is the meal that the unsinkable Molly Brown would have served before she got on the Titanic, without a doubt.
True.
Donna Mayville. Thumbs down, where's Wildy? Be more constructive with your criticism, Don. What is it you don't like? Do you not like Buckstock? Do you not like me? Do you not
judgmental
like Molly?
Jim?
All of the above.
Matt?
We haven't talked any Packers.
We love constructive criticism here. The thumbs down doesn't do anything for us.
He works for my credit card company is what it is.
Yeah.
Sorry, Don. We'll figure that out later.
And we'll get out to Nick and Madison in a second here. But Molly, can we clear this up? If you wanted to watch the... Obviously, you can listen to the Milwaukee Bucks here on ESPN Madison or on WTMJ if you'd like. But you also can watch them locally.
Yes, I know that you can watch them on FanDuel TV, as Hawk Hunter on YouTube has pointed out. I understand. I'm just saying.
But
I don't want to pay for FanDuel TV to be able to watch the Milwaukee Bucks because I can't get them on NBA TV.
Let's be honest. And with all due respect, that whole thing is ruined trying to watch whether it's the Brewers or the Bucks. Like, it makes it such a giant pain in the butt. You have to then you have to budget extra money to watch your local team. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I do think that hurts fandom. Like the Milwaukee Bucks, why are you less not quite a statewide team? Because it's a giant pain in the butt to watch your game. And people in Madison are already predispositioned not to watch the Milwaukee Bucks play. And now you got to say, oh, I got to pay extra for it because nobody has cable anymore. Who has cable? Like, just get YouTube TV or Hulu or whatever. So, like, let's just make it harder to watch a team that is hard to watch. Instead, you can just listen to them on for free on ESPN Madison on WTMJ. Let's get out to Nick and Madison. Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
So am I trying to understand this correctly? You're thinking that it would be in the best interest of the Bucks to just say, hey, forget about it. Let's just call it a season, not risk any injuries, and let the Pacers just walk off.
In an imaginary world, I don't think – obviously, they can't do that, but I do think that
– And Giannis would never do that?
And Giannis would never do that, but I think in a perfect world, that would be great.
Yeah, I was just curious if that's ever been done or if it's legal. But then I just started thinking, like, even though there's no shot that we have any glimmer of hope to win an NBA championship this year, I got to think about just how much money each game these players are making based on their own bonus incentives and just how important that is to them. But that's just kind of where I'm at as far as, you know, each game still matters. And if this is Giannis' last hurrah, I mean, I'm a Bucks fan. I used to dress pretty weird going to Bucks games in high school with socks that were matching colors and, you know, embarrassing my girlfriend at the time.
Love it.
But I think all of us in Milwaukee would just give him a hug and say, go where you need to go, because we have nothing to offer the next 5 to 6 years. We have no picks. We have no capital. Our entire team is old. It's very depressing. So why would he stick around for a rebuild? It would take like 2-3 years, I think. So that's what I got. I'll leave it at
Thank you, Nick. And look, and we'll get to that. We gotta get to Adam
Cohen. I don't
disagree
with anything he said.
Yeah, like I hope, and I will die on this hill. Like honestly, rename something for Giannis if he decides to stick around with the bloodbath that's coming up here. Because look at their roster. Tell me who is a tradable asset, not named Giannis. They will talk about they don't have any draft picks.
They don't have their own draft pick until 2030.
And here's the sad thing. To be honest, if you looked yourself in the mirror as a Bucks fan, the only way, and I don't love the Bucks front office doing this, but the only way the Bucks can save themselves from a future of abject disaster is to trade Giannis. Because you can roll Giannis back out there and be a five seed again. Giannis is top three player in the league. And Giannis is a good enough guy that he might say, I'll do that. And Giannis has given the Bucks more than any franchise deserves out of a player. And Giannis will get a statue. Giannis should be, to me, considered the greatest Wisconsin sports athlete when you consider the fact that in today's NBA, he could have pulled the plug on us at any point. He never did. He brought a title to the Milwaukee Bucks. You have to be, more than football or any other sport, you have to be a Phoenix-type star in the NBA to beat the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals or whatever it is. But like you have to be like white-hot sort of supernova to win, and they got it, and that's so rare. And it probably, if you're betting on it, won't happen again. So it's really a matter of, like, do you want to have Giannis play out his last few years here and be, like, a 4 or 5 seed? Or do you want to try to reset the whole thing and hope to God you can be Oklahoma City or Houston and accumulate enough picks and do the right thing with them that you can be back and relevant again? Oklahoma City, number one seed, and Houston, number two seed in a tougher conference in the West. We can talk to Evan Cohen about some of this next. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, the takeover of Wilde and Tausch.
This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wilde and Tausch.
Should I be upset that Chewy has no idea who I am?
My concern is Mark Tauscher is the only teammate who's a former Packer who knows who Matt Hamilton is. Mark Schmerer clearly does know who Matt Hamilton is.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
But, like, it seems like you're deferring to someone that's not actually on the show. She's already your girlfriend.
Friends are people that you're honest with no matter what. So I'm questioning whether or not you actually know how to be friends with someone.
He doesn't need a pat on the back.
He's not you. Well, who's a good co-host?
And Evan Cohen, who co-hosts Unsportsmanlike right here on ESPN Radio.
From Madison to the Big Apple, it's time for Evan Cohen on Jim, Matt, and Molly's takeover of Wilde and Tausch.
These vagabond shoes are longing to stray.
It is Jim, Matt, and Molly, the takeover of Wilde and Tausch. I'm Jim Rutledge in the Everlight Solar Studio alongside Molly Brown and Olympic gold medalist Matt Hamilton. We are on ESPN Wisconsin. You can find us on the new and fancy ESPN Wisconsin app. Absolutely love it. And we are thrilled to be joined now by Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. You can hear him in Madison weekday mornings here. Evan, Matt had a message for you to start. Matt.
Yeah, condolences on your Heat. I have a feeling we'll be there soon.
Thank you. I can hear us in Milwaukee too, Jim. Why don't you acknowledge that?
I said ESPN Wisconsin.
Said you can hear on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee. Why did you not mention Milwaukee?
I don't know. I thought I did. I thought I said ESPN Wisconsin, which would encompass everything.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, interesting.
Yeah, I got you.
Also, let me just say this, and thank you, Matt. Molly, primetime, great to see you guys at the Tundra Trio this week.
Good to see you, too. You know what came to my mind first, Evan? Do you drink caffeine?
I have coffee in the morning, and I don't drink soda. I don't really during the day I'll have, like, water or... I love sparkling ice, which I didn't have there. I don't know what I had. Gatorade Zero? I don't know. No, just coffee early in the morning.
Okay, I just had to ask because Mel Kiper a couple weeks ago, I believe on Wilde and Tausch, said that he doesn't drink any caffeine. And then, like, when I saw you at the Trio, you're going a million miles a minute. I feel like you're starting your show at 5 o'clock in the morning. Who knows what time you're getting up? That I'm just like, I don't know how you have the energy. So, good for you.
And
that's
to,
all.
And to Evan's point. I forget that people are up and about before 7 a.m. You can't hear Unsports from like 5 to 7 on ESPN Milwaukee. I thought he was saying we as in we're all on the show together. Like right now, Jim, Matt, and Molly, and we're on all those stations. He was specific about his show. He wanted to make his show got proper.
Well, that's right.
Not our show, but his show. So we got it now. All right.
Thank you, Jim.
Yes. Evan, I'm very nihilistic right now about the Milwaukee Bucks, to the point that in curling, and this obviously can't happen, but in curling, if you were down to the point where the Milwaukee Bucks are to Indiana, you could just shake hands and be like, hey, good game. We're going home. We got no shot of winning. It's over. And in a perfect world, the Bucks would not play Giannis, and they'd shut the whole thing down and tell Indiana, congratulations, move on to the next round. We got to focus on the offseason because right now the Bucks have like no picks. At best, they can pick swap with New Orleans. They don't have any tradable assets. And I'm very concerned about what's going to happen with the Milwaukee Bucks going forward. And if Giannis says, I want to stick around for what's going to happen, they should name the damn stadium after him is my new point, because the Milwaukee Bucks, to me, are really looking into a dark tunnel, and I'm really worried about the future of the Milwaukee Bucks. Can you take me off of the cliff?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, not to nitpick, you may want to double-check on this, because the pick swap would be New Orleans pick swapping with Milwaukee, not the other way around.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah, so like New Orleans will get the best pick out of that.
That would not happen. Right, so New Orleans is not going to say, let's take the worst pick, obviously. So they don't have that on their side of it. In addition, I do want to say they may have a 2031 pick. I could be wrong on that. I don't know, but here's my issue. Why would you give up when you have Giannis? Why would you say the best case scenario is just pack it in and give Indiana the victory? Obviously, the Dame news is horrible. It's crushing. It's awful for Dame. It's awful for the Bucks. He did, not that anyone deserved this, but he extra doesn't deserve this, coming back from the blood clot and then having Achilles, which likely keeps him out of the majority of next year, too, obviously. And then he has a player option after that for $58 million. So that's not a good situation for the Milwaukee Bucks. Obviously, you feel terrible for the person. But I am never going to write off Giannis. I understand that it seems impossible, and I'm not suggesting it's possible. I'm just saying I wouldn't give in to the just rest him, and go home. If I'm a Bucks fan, I am going to have delusional, hope today. I am going to think, well, get one, Giannis, and then who knows what happens from here. That's where my delusional hope would go, but it sounds like obviously you guys are packing it in here.
And you can hear that game here on ESPN Madison and WTMJ. It's just the team is built to be stars and scrubs, and they got one star left. And you're right. Giannis is one of the best players. You can make a case still the best player in this league, and you always got a shot. They just got no shot at the series, and obviously even if they win this, they got nothing left. And if Giannis gets hurt, now it's just doomsday. And so, like, the Bucks feel cursed. So it really has to do with, like, Dame's hurt. They played, like, three games together in the playoffs ever. Everything seems to be going wrong for this team, and the whole season in the last 2 years feels cursed with injuries. I just want to close my eyes and hibernate the next basketball season and hope that John Horst figured something out.
Even next season.
Okay, so are you of the belief that Giannis will not be on this team this year?
I would go 60% no, and I would not fault him one bit, because I don't – like, last time you and I talked, all three of us talked, you mentioned that the Bucks could maybe move Dame if they felt like they needed to, or move and maybe get some other assets for it. They have nothing they can move. You're right, a 2030 pick or 2031 pick they possibly can move, but – there's just not, like, nobody wants the rest of the players on this team. And I don't know if they like Doc. So I could see it being like, hey, Giannis is going to say, hey, I'm not going to force a trade, but if you get a good offer, I'm willing to go to, like, Houston.
But guys, they're going to get a good offer.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, are they conveying every offer to Giannis? Are they saying, hey, this one seems too good for us to not bring to him? Is he interested? Because that's a dangerous proposition. See, I still think, bet on him being back with the Bucks. I think the Dame thing is horrible. When I said that they could trade Dame, it was under the premise of they gave it a shot. It's not that it didn't work. It didn't work to championship level, right? And they say to Dame, hey, it kind of makes sense for all parties involved. We're going to move you to X, Y, and Z. We're going to get these two or three guys back, which can actually help Giannis because they're younger, and he can put this other team in a championship window, whatever it may be. You can't do that now. The only way you're going to be able to – there's three ways to trade Dame, okay? You're not going to like any of these, but here are the three ways to trade Dame. One, to pay off another team to take him. In other words, you're giving another team the first-round pick that you have, taking somebody else in return. Two, to take a contract worse than his back, right? Which I guess you would say Bradley Beal of the Suns, only because it's a no-trade clause, which he would have to accept that trade. Here's the other one. Here's the other one. You want a clean slate? Say to any team that calls for Giannis, multiple firsts, and you have to take Dame. You don't even worry about the players you get back. Mm-hmm. You're worrying about whether or not the team can meet $100-plus million of salary to come back.
So what do you think, Evan? Do you think he's going to be a Milwaukee Buck next year? Is he going to be on your Miami Heat? Where is he going?
I mean, I'd love him on the Heat, but I think that at this point, until otherwise noted, I am going to, as Brian Windhorst, the ESPN NBA insider and Hoop Collective podcast always says, actions over words. Every single action from Giannis has been to stay. Every time.
Yep.
This is not the first time we've gone through this exact conversation. Oh, players hurt. I don't know. Like, how many times has Middleton been banged up where he still stayed? How many times you look at it and you're like, okay, who's the co-star? And they get Drew Holiday. Or when that's coming to an end, theoretically, they get Dame Lillard. It's going to be really difficult to get him a co-star or stars that match what the Dame combination could have been or what Drew and Middleton were. But actions over words. Giannis has never asked out. He's never tried to get out. So actions over words for me.
Evan, a little pivot here to the Packers. You were just in Green Bay for the draft, obviously.
Yeah.
Awesome state. Question, who won during this draft in Green Bay last week? Was it the city of Green Bay, the Packers draft class, or was it Mark Murphy?
Good question. We had an awesome time. Green Bay was unbelievable. Travel Wisconsin, Pick Wisconsin did such an amazing job and bringing our show there and unsportsmanlike. The bus, did you guys see the bus?
Oh my God, your bus was incredible. I drove past it on my way home.
I mean, I heard you guys are driving it to Texas later this week on your show earlier.
Yeah, for a turtle. Yeah, for a turtle. There's a player, the Cowboys draft pick has a pet turtle that they want to try to get to Dallas from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I don't think it's Mark Murphy, not because he wasn't a winner. I just don't think he was the focal point. And even though the Packers had a good draft, I think Green Bay in the state of Wisconsin was the biggest winner. Because I think, listen, I went to school in Madison. I know how great the state of Wisconsin is. I think the masses probably assume Wisconsin is one thing and don't realize it's another thing. I'm not saying the great state of Wisconsin is not farming and cows. Thankfully, it is, right? I mean, there's a great farming industry in Wisconsin. I don't think that people realize how awesome the state is, how big game-oriented the state is, how many big events that the state is. I saw Brian D. from ESPN Milwaukee tweet out something of, like, the amount of big events. You can find this tweet, Jim. I think it's fascinating. The amount of big events that the state of Wisconsin has had over the last decade should not surprise anyone that we were able to do the draft the way we were able to do it. And I'm saying we because I'm a Badger, so I can say that.
You absolutely can say that. And speaking of the Badgers, talking with Evan Cohen here on Sportsmanlike, you can hear him on ESPN Milwaukee 5 to 7 and ESPN Madison in the mornings here as well. Jim, Matt, and Molly, the takeover of Wilde and Taos were presented by Coors Light, but Badger football. So I got a chance to talk with at the Trio Houses. We had some events, and I got a chance to talk with Gary Ellerson, but then James White and Melvin Gordon were there as well. We did kind of a private chalk talk there. And one of the things that, as I was on stage talking with them, and then over the weekend, the Badgers had the latest pick in like the last 15 years for the Badgers in the first round, and actually the first Badger was taken as a former Badger in Chimray Dike. How much do you think Luke Fickle and the Badgers noticed that, I guess, lack of NFL talent, and how much do you think that matters for the Badgers to get to the next level? Because if you wanted to point to why have the Badgers been bad even under late stage Paul Chryst and under early stages of the Luke Fickle era, you could point to they don't got enough pros. What's your kind of obviously Badger fan perspective and outside perspective on the Badgers needing more pros?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I understand where you're coming from, but I think back to when I was in school, which was 98 to 02. We had so many great college players that weren't household names or decade-long pros and still were awesome in college. So I don't know if I necessarily buy into it. Like, this goes back into what's the job of the college coach? right, Jim, you and I both lived in Florida when Tebow was with the Gators, right?
Yep.
And I remember one of the biggest topics of conversation that we had at the time on ESPN West Palm was about Tebow and his future. And we would ask the question, well, what is Urban Meyer's job? Is it to get his players to the pros or to win as many games at Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, you could sit there and say, well, they should go hand-in-hand at a school like Wisconsin, right? If Luke Fickell's getting the dominant offensive lineman that we've always had at UW-Madison, and they're kicking butt in college in the Big Ten, it is more likely than not that they're going to become pros. I get that. But I could also go through and list off a bunch of guys that were key pieces to the Badger Rose Bowl teams 2 years in a row when I was in school that didn't have pro careers or for any significant period of time. So I think we got to start out with Luke Fickell getting as many great college players before I worry about pro players.
Evan,
I mean, let's be honest, the greatest player in the history of the University of Wisconsin football did not have an iconic pro career in Ron Dayne.
True.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was misused.
All
the
respect
to Ron. The Giants misused him.
He wasn't bad. He just wasn't what we thought he was going to be with the Heisman Trophy.
Splitting carries with Tiki Barber was not the right move.
But Matt, I hate to say it this way. It's not that I don't care, but if I'm just focusing on Jim, just focusing on Jim's question, what am I going to ask for more from Ron Dayne as a Badger? Well, his career with the Giants is not relevant to Jim's specific question.
True.
Now, just like Tim Tebow was picked high, Ron Dayne was a first-round pick, so they at least showed enough in college where NFL teams believed in them. The fact that they couldn't be good pros, like the Badgers had their best success is when their roster was full of a bunch of undrafted free agents who surprised the heck out of everyone. Badgers, right now they got Bupkis. You got Jack Nelson, Hunter Wohler, who's switching positions, all like 6th, 7th round picks. Graham Mertz was picked before some of these guys. And Graham Mertz
I had no idea that Graham Mertz was on the radar to get drafted. No idea.
We talked with Matt Miller from ESPN the week before the draft, and we asked him about Graham Mertz, and he said he's not a draftable player. So,
but is that like the Florida effect? I know Florida football isn't what it was, like you were just saying, under Urban Meyer back in the day, but like, is there something with that intrigued?
I mean, but Molly, the best game he ever played was in a Badger uniform, the first game he ever played.
True.
Yeah.
Was that pre-COVID, right?
No, that was in COVID.
Yeah.
Oh.
Was that against?
That was
a
six-game season or whatever.
Oh, and then he got sick after that, right? Didn't he get COVID right after that? Because, I don't know.
Yes.
I thought there was something with that.
Yeah. He got bad.
And
afterwards.
Then it was
awful.
Know.
I don't know what happened.
Horrendous. Yes. Yeah. Evan, the biggest story of the weekend of the NFL draft was Shedeur Sanders obviously dropping so low, so much lower than anybody even predicted at all. And I'm curious, what are your thoughts on why that happened?
Yeah, I think there's a myriad of reasons. Mike Tannenbaum, the NFL front office insider, was on with us yesterday and said interviews, like that he's been through this before where he has, you know, let's call it a first round grade on a certain player, bad interviews, moves that guy to a second round pick, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what it feels like. There's the idea of celebrity status, which is if you think someone is not going to start, do you want a celebrity as a backup? These are ridiculous reasons, by the way. I'm answering the question. But the celebrity status part of it is, I remember Cam Newton said when he got released by New England a few years ago, when Mac Jones beat him out for the job, he said, I get if I'm not starting why I'm not on the team, because my personality is too big to be a backup. And he was not saying that in a braggadocious sort of way. He was reasoning with the idea of, I get everyone's going to then talk about, oh my God, you have Cam Newton as a backup. I guess that's the case with Shedeur. But here's my counter to that. I am surprised. First of all, I think he's in a good spot because I think he has a chance to play.
Mm-hmm.
I am surprised that a QB smart team didn't draft and stash him, i.e. Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, even the Packers to
some
extent.
That's what I was going to ask you.
He would have been the third string quarterback. You play him a couple of halves in preseason. If you draft him in the fourth or fifth round, maybe you flip him in a year for a second or third rounder. Or maybe you flip him mid-season if you need, I'm making this up, God forbid a safety gets hurt, and you're like, hey, this team needs a quarterback. They have a safety. We'll trade him Shedeur for a safety, and we upgrade there. Because you're not going to, I mean, like, I'm surprised that didn't happen.
So that was what I'm going to follow up. At what point did you start thinking maybe the Green Bay Packers would take Shador Sanders? I saw that Mark Tauscher put it out on Twitter, I believe, on day two. And then, what's that?
Mark Tauscher, is his name?
Mark Tauscher.
Unfamiliar.
Yeah, of Wilde and Tausch. But then also, like I put out a poll question, and Packer fans said they wouldn't want Shador Sanders until the seventh round. So
ridiculous.
I agree. So I thought, like, anything after the fifth round, if he had fallen to the Packers in the fifth round, I honestly started to think it'd be negligent for them not to take Shador. But what were your thoughts on a team like the Packers taking Shador?
Jim, I don't remember exactly when I tweeted it at FCO Radio, but I tweeted that kind of thing. So whenever that happened is when my mind started wandering to all the QB smart teams. Like, could you imagine if you were able to get Shador, let's just say in the fifth round, and he's sitting there behind Love and Malik Willis? Nobody's going to say he should be the starter. Mm-hmm. What you're going to say is, hey, do we have flexibility considering literally we could have three guys that could start on some teams in the league?
And then also...
Like, that's enticing for me.
And to your point, and we saw New England do this, like, you could draft someone. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo, they had Jimmy Garoppolo for a while as a solid backup, and they were able to get, I believe, basically the same value for what they drafted him in the draft that he traded him. But also they just did this trading Milton to Dallas. So, like, they moved up. They got draft capital out of it. So I think worst-case scenario, you got draft capital.
I agree. I want to – can I alter my answer on one thing? I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
Matt asked about biggest winner of the weekend.
Yeah.
The biggest winner of the weekend, I've rethought this. It is clearly Matt LaFleur. Now, why am I answering that? Matt LaFleur showed up to the Tundra Trio, and I was gawking at him. This guy is so good-looking, it's ridiculous. Everybody is sitting there, and you're like, oh, my God. He's, like, distractingly handsome. That guy.
You know what's so funny? His hair was perfect, right, Evan? And I literally looked at his hair, and my son had a haircut the next day, and I was like, I think I'm going to ask the barber or the hair cutter to give the LaFleur cut, because it is beautiful hair. Oh my, the eyebrows, like, I saw, remember when Tom Brady said, oh, Matt LaFleur spends, I don't know, $1,000 a week on his appearance? I saw it. It looked like it.
I mean, I'm telling you, Molly's reaction and my reaction was 100 people at least that had the same reaction. I think this is interesting. Could you go into a barbershop in Wisconsin and say, give me the LaFleur? Put that poll question up primetime. That's a fascinating one. Would every barber in Wisconsin know if you said, give me the LaFleur, how to cut your hair?
So, Evan, we have to get up, but you're the guy on hair and looks and all that. So, who's got the best hair in the NFL for NFL coaches?
No. LaFleur may be the best coach of all time now. Like, it's unbelievable.
Really?
He was.
He
looked pretty good.
He was so good looking, that guy. I had a funny interaction with him. People were standing there saying, I can't believe you said that to him. And I was like, why? So, I'm standing there with him. He and I are talking. At just the two of us with other people, like, kind of surrounding us. And I was like, you know, one of my co-hosts in the morning, she's a huge Packers fan, love your team, whatever. And so he says, so are you a Packers fan? I go, no, absolutely not. And I said that right to his face. I said, no, I'm not a Packers fan. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. And then somebody comes over and says, oh, they rip on your team all the time. I said, no, we don't. I said, we just rip on your former quarterback all the time. And he gave me a smirk. And that was the end of our conversation. What am I going to lie to the guy? So I told him to his face, I don't root for his team, I don't root against his team, and that we're not critical of his team, but we are critical of his former quarterback. Was I wrong to do that? Should I have lied to him and told him I'm a Packers fan?
I mean, Matt would have lied no matter what. I mean, the way he kissed Mark Murphy's butt when we had him in front of us was honestly secondhand embarrassment.
But I'm a Packer fan.
But the way you're like, Mark, you've never done anything wrong ever. I've never criticized you. You're like the greatest president in Packers team history.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So now I know why Matt included Mark Murphy in the biggest winners of the weekend. Yeah.
I mean, he was. Mark won. You're wrong on your take. You're entitled to it, but you're wrong.
Well, you were not there to see LaFleur. Like, I promise you, ask anyone that was at the Thunder Trio who is face-to-face with LaFleur, and find out what they say.
I think you were right in how you approached Evan. He will always remember you for saying that. So good for you.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Evan.
All right,
that's Evan Cohen. On Sportsmanlike, you can hear him on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison. This is the Wildy and Tausch takeover with Jim, Matt, and Molly.
The Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wildy and Tausch continues next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wildy and Tausch, the Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover continues. We are continuing their tradition of being horrible clock managers. I'm Jim Rutledge in the Everlight Solar Studio alongside Olympic gold medalist Matt Hamilton, my normal co-host on Jim, Matt, and Molly, along with Molly Brown. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream, and we are on ESPN Wisconsin. The Milwaukee Bucks is why we are on early today. I guess Wildy and Tausch wanted to take a day off. We are going to hear from Jason Wildy for a good chunk of change this hour here, so we'll talk a lot more Packers than we did in the first hour. A lot of Milwaukee Bucks chat in the first hour. You can listen back on the ESPN Wisconsin app. But the Bucks are on ESPN Madison tonight, 4:30 pregame and on WTMJ. And then if you are in Madison, 1670 The Zone who will carry the Milwaukee Brewers a little bit later. So we had a couple siding unlimited poll questions, and you can chime in on the Carbo's Talking text line, 844-770-3776. This is more. We had one from Evan Cohen, and we'll get to that one in a minute. But we also have one we put out on ESPN Madison. And look, I don't think anyone's going to agree with me on this one, but I said, in a perfect world, the Bucks would be better off sitting Giannis versus the Pacers to help preserve his trade value. Now, that's a little bit also like keep him healthy for next season. But, like, do you agree or disagree? Adding the trade value is going to get me murdered on this. But whether you want him to play for the Milwaukee Bucks next year or you think he might ask for a trade, there's no good scenario of Giannis playing against the Pacers. Win a game. Congrats. You want a piece of hard candy from Molly? Like,
I do carry out strawberry candies in my purse. I'm not going to lie.
Get out of here.
You're so old. You know the kind that, like, actually look like a strawberry on
that
the outside?
Has the filling I love
those. Oh, my God. They're so good.
They're in a bucket at my house.
All I need is some, like, Werther's caramel.
Yeah, I was going to get you some Werther's originals, and you're going to be
so good.
Old Lady Molly.
Don't knock it till you try it.
How many Fig Newtons are at your house?
I actually do not have any of those.
So when I grew up in Fort Atkinson, there was an old, like, it's just funny how different things are. There was an old lady lived next door, and I was able to, like, go, and my parents would, like, let me go to her house, and, like, I'd hang out with her and have, like, some milk and Fig Newtons. Like, she's just next door. I moved when I was 10, so obviously no older than 10. I feel like she passed away, and we had different neighbors. So, like, I feel like the ages of, like, 6 to 8, or maybe it wasn't even in school sort of ages, but yeah, I would go there and, like, she got company. I think she maybe had, I had kids at some point. I had grandkids. So she had like a play set in the backyard. So, and obviously like my parents are right next door, but yeah. It's just funny. Like I'd go
so
there.
So you were able to get some Fig Newtons out of the deal?
Yeah. Fig Newtons and some milk and play. Yeah. It was
a good
time.
Steal.
Right? I mean, it sets up the human experience that all interactions with people should be transactional. That if I'm not getting anything out of you, what am I doing here?
God, you sound like my husband. My husband says that kind of stuff. I'm like, what's wrong
so
with you?
So brutal.
Yeah. Like,
I'm not saying
I talk to people to fill my bucket. Like, I need people.
So transactional.
I guess so. I guess like,
tell me you get your bucket filled.
I do.
Tell me a conversation. Tell me something that's not transactional. That late, the old lady got attention. She got like a kid hanging around. She got to be around. You know, she lived by herself.
The attention from 10-year-old Jim Rutledge.
Right, that's gold.
Jimmy boy.
How much would you pay?
Like, by 10, I definitely was not Jimmy anymore.
Hello,
but like,
Jimmy, would you like some Fig Newtons and milk?
Right. What a deal for her. I got Fig Newtons. She got my attention. Like, win.
Steal.
But you know old people need attention. And then she got attention. She lived alone. It was transactional.
Ageist on this show.
I'm not being ageist. I'm saying that that was a good thing. She got attention. I got fitness.
Did you get like an Eagle Scout badge for that or something?
I don't believe in those things, so no. Boy Scouts, Eagle Scouts, pass. Hard pass. Molly, do you have a non-transactional?
I'm trying to think of something.
Prime.
I can get the transaction on the other side of this break.
So again, transactional. He talked to me.
Yeah.
He talked to me to get me to go to break. Before we go to break, Molly, tell us about Zoa.
Yes, you guys know that I love my Zoa energy. And like I just said, I have a ton of kids. So I need all the energy that I can get. And I get that perfect boost from Zoa. It gives me the perfect boost without the crash that comes with other energy drink. And the best part about it is that Zoa is packed with natural ingredients like caffeine from green coffee and green tea, which fuels both my workouts and my busy work days. I feel so good knowing that it's all about clean energy. Pick up some Zoa for yourself. Head over to ZoaEnergy.com to learn more. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.